That's a good point. And again,
Corey.
I want to flag two things before we hear from Leon Blaise and Junior Jordan. I want, again, for listeners, and they like to do this with these particular programs because sometimes this information fly over the caller's head. We talk about examples. So those of you parents driving, remember what you do is more powerful than what you say. And planning. Somebody's now highlighting to me the example that Mark used is very good because they, in their opinion, no, again, this opinion, the six roads was not planned properly. So this may be an alert to planners. When you're planning areas like Warren, Six Roads, all these areas, you may have to plan not for today and tomorrow, next month, but may have to plan for the future expansion. All right, Mr. Blaise, sorry, go ahead.
Okay, I want to speak on the aspect of the education, and I agree with the caller because the education must start with the children. So we have to devise a way of trying to catch the children as an investment for 10, 15 years hence. So what I think is necessary is that we need to teach the children who can have impression upon their parents and to how they drive. So if we go that route, we can surely have better drivers. But in the meantime, we still have to teach the drivers, the parents. So there's a two-pronged attack, teaching the children and teaching the parents. Their personnel willing to facilitate that sort of training. But we need policies, and that is where we can go. But something the guy, somebody mentioned that Shefet would soon be, obviously, would soon be open. But if we think in terms of the crop season, the impending crop season, that is something we have to look at also. Because I know from experience as a former police officer that vehicles traveling from Carrington, St. Philip, heading to St. James, they come down Highway 5 and then they take the roundabout by the bus at the Emancipation roundabout, and then they go down the highway. Very often, there's a lot of droppings of cane, mash cane, and vehicles turning over. But the vehicles travel too quickly on those roads. I know that if he was here, Inspector Rodney, this would tell you, he has done it several times, speaking to the drivers that that's necessary. So there's a word to the wise is sufficient. But at least right now, he's not here. But I want to echo what his sentiments that he would normally make. These are things that we normally do. When I was in service, I would send him to do the have these talks. But these are things that we need to do. There are a lot of businesses, there are a lot of businesses who have fleet of vehicles, and they need to be told about the importance of road safety. So the part of their strategy need to look at that. So not only the crop season at the point and the young drivers, but we need to do that. So we have a policy. So what Mark said and what Junior said is those are things. So we need the 106 roads. I like Mark, I am very familiar with the 6 roads area. 6 roads are not designed for that. The businesses now, the businesses are going to populate the area. And more businesses in 6 roads. But the other routing and the redesigning and the retiming, those are necessary things you have to do to make it better.
But you see, in a situation like that, Mr. Blaise, I mean, Barbados is somewhat different in that, you know, here in the UK, we will have something called a spatial plan. And I know that the government has got a spatial plan for various areas in Barbados, which I've seen previously. But we will designate areas for specific uses. Okay. So you know where you're going to put your houses, you know where you're going to put your commercial properties, and you know there's not going to be a mix because there's some property types that are not going to cross over. Unless you go through a change of use of land. And I went to school in St. Rose. I'm a proud Princess Margaret boy, okay? And it looked completely differently when I was going to school. But of course, countries move on, things move on, places develop. And with that development, you get the adverse impacts of how people want to live their lives and how they want to move around. This is always the issue that we never plan very well for. And this is not a Barbados issue, even though there are some aspects of our approach that might not be as mature as other places. We still have a long way to go in this whole area of how do we determine where we want people to live and populate and what land we want to be available for other uses. Because these things collectively make a huge difference on what the future of Barbados is going to look like for those who travel.
Junior, I want you to come in here now, but before you do, I just want to say something. To me, there's no excuse for this. I tell you why. Because when we have in developments, there are these impact studies which are mandatory. And these impact studies are supposed to take into consideration things like traffic management. So we can't be holding up development because of these studies, and then you still got poor planning at the same time. That's like a double whammy you're giving yourself. But I give way to Mr. Junior Jordan.
Yes, Corey. Thanks again. What I want to suggest here is that Six Roads area or any other area, if we can perhaps, what could perhaps help in terms of taking some of the traffic off of various arteries at various times, if we can have staggered working hours or flexi time, that has been spoken about for the longest time.
Yeah.
But perhaps it's about time that we get it implemented, where as a policy, some businesses can start at 10, some at 11, some at 6, and have flexi time. This will take a large chunk of vehicles off of home. Precisely, which is what we are doing now.
Yeah.
Because in Barbados, we have out of a population of just under 300,000 people. The vehicle population, approximately 135,000. And in terms of people with driving licenses, over 102 or something, so 1,000. Do the math, do the ratios. Mm-hmm. That is a lot of people, a lot of numbers for a small country. But what I think we need to do in a lot of cases is to adjust our timing. Like when there was normal schooling, when schools were on vacation, the roads were relatively freer. Then when school started back, people, there was chock-a-block traffic. But if you can time what we do, make our routes as little as possible. In this COVID times right now, the number of people who go on the streets, perhaps unnecessarily. If you have a duty or two to run, do it all in one run and get off the streets. But don't leave home, go to the place, go back, go forward, because that makes it a very bit difficult for other people. But what we also need to do is this. For people who do not have to drive in specific areas, do not go in those areas. It is as simple as that. Some people, what is known as rat run, which means go to little roads and together from mainstream traffic. That happened a lot previously. And unfortunately, a lot of people did that rat running quickly. And you really ought to be controlling your vehicle. So it's a lot to do with the behavior, how we see ourselves. And in actual fact, it goes right back to the beginning. If we train our people right, after they get the license, they're on their own. But you know what? Part of my experience has been, listeners, you may be training a student and the student passed their license. And then the parents, some, not all, may tell them, oh, you don't have to drive differently, or you don't have to learn to drive after you get. Absolutely not. The only way you can get a license in this country is because the testing officers, as professional as they are, they will give you that privilege to drive when you satisfy them. When you satisfy them of your ability to control the vehicle. But after that, this is where the parents can have a very serious role. Let the young people or whoever know, listen, watch me, and I'm going to parallel with you, what you've been doing with your instructor. And then this can even move into what.
That might be an internet issue. So, Junior, we lost you there.
Well, let me interject right away, Julie was speaking. The aspect of the graduated license, is it may seem foreign, but it is something desirous, because where Junior was mentioned, and the young persons, it is designed for rookie drivers. A graduated license is mandated by United Nations through in the work decade of road safety. Those are things that is a suggestion that was made for perhaps other countries which are using them, which are become beneficial. So in Barbados, we can have graduated license where the parents, their role is to make sure that they don't give a child the vehicle and they pass at 10 o'clock in the morning, give the child the vehicle to drive at night. Make sure that they understand how they want them to drive. But it doesn't change the system, but at least you monitor their driving until such time as that. And in those countries which use graduated license, you find that it is for 6 months or so, and you just monitor the child to make sure that they drive well and the parents still have control. And that is important.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent point. What I'm going to do, just gone 2 minutes after noon, I'm going to bring in our WhatsApp family. I'm going to read a couple WhatsApps.
So yes.
We'll take notes.
Welcome. And
y'all could actually respond to them. So this next one, this one says, good morning, great topic. I am concerned about the bush planted on the partition of the ABC Highway outside of Door Mall and HMB. It obscures the vision of the zebra crossing before the Saul roundabout. This one says, for me, every person at MTW needs to be a qualified engineer. From pedestrian crossings too close to cars to lights need to be solar and be computer controlled. That's a different point. Vehicles need to come to a complete halt at a flashing red light. This is something I'm not seeing. Instructors need to teach their students how to change lanes in a roundabout, and they're driving too slow in the right lane. And finally, driving towards the objects that are on the side, i.e. pedestrian, bicycle, parked cars, etc. Turning hazard lights on at the crosswalk. The only time I didn't do it, a man actually got lit down. Well, knocked down. There's a number of points that person is trying to put over there. I don't know how y'all want to respond to that. Particularly the one, this hazard light thing. There's been a debate here. And for me personally, about turning on hazard lights to let somebody cross. And some people actually thinking, okay, you break down, I get overtake. And some people saying the hazard light is actually the better way to go. But I'll leave this one to you, the professionals, to give me your take on it.
No, let me start,
Corey. Go ahead.
I want to start with looking at something that came out of that chat. The aspect of what parents need. Parents and homeowners need to know that they have a role to play in road safety. They got to make sure that their hedges are not too high so that their neighbor coming out wouldn't have to push the front of their vehicles out of the road to see. So they might look at decoration, but they realize they have to, with some measure of safety and concern in mind, they have to realize that the hedges need to be cut lower. And sometimes the positioning of the hedges, the positioning of the picket fence close to the road also always cause an obstruction. So those are things that need to be done. I wrote an article some time ago in the newspaper, what parents need to know about road safety. Those are the things, because the parents also need to teach the children how to use the roads. So they're making sure that the children, because they're the first teacher is the parent. So the parents need to don't rely on the school. Really teach the children how they can use the roads. I know that there's provisions for that. The compliance with the traffic signal, that is something that the police have been doing time and time and time again. Sigrid Johnson has been speaking about that daily, but people still do refuse. They don't seem to understand that a flashing red means stop and then proceed, or the flashing amber means proceed with caution. But people are driven through them as though they're non-existent. These things are not right. And just to go back to one other thing that Junior mentioned before when it came on, the aspect of the approved driving instructors training, it helps to enhance the students' knowledge of what is expected of them as a road user. So these are things that the powers that be can consider to make sure that the roads are safer. But one other thing before I go on now, just one more quick other thing. I want to commend the ministry, and I think the Minister of Public Works, when he mentioned that there was going to be plans to pave the Carmichael Road that's below the Bollard Police Station to out in Buckley. That road was bad for eons. It is good to do that. But on the same line, I would like him to encourage him to come to Six Roads. There's a road between Sunbury and Low Marshfield that is also in a deplorable condition that needs to be repaired. If that is repaired, it would take some load off the vehicles coming from Church Village, wanting to go on Highway 5, instead of going to Six Roads, they can come through that road by the vegetable market and go down Highway 5. There are lots of other roads that want repairs and that they can do that. Even if you go by Bushy Park, there's the road between between Bushy Park, as you go on Bushy Park Plantation, you're going up to Sanford, up to Sanford. There's another road that is very, very bad, and especially when they have court rallies in that area. Those are roads that need repairing. If they could repair those roads, and then I'm sure there are myriad other roads that need repairing that can ease the situation. But we wait on the ministry, and I'm sure that they'll be perhaps taking note of the things that come up from this program.
Corey?
Go ahead, Mark.
There's a specific point that the WhatsApp message mentioned that I just want to touch on, and it was he or she said every person at MTW needs to be a qualified engineer. Okay, what I think underlies that is the whole issue of how do we get people into this sector, and that's what I want to deal with. I'm not so much in agreement about everybody needs to be a qualified engineer. I work with a lot of engineers. I'm not one, but you know, I take a lot of advice from them, and we work very well together. We often have lots of conflict, but so be it. The point I'm going to make is this: one of the areas we have to look at is how do we get people to be professionals in traffic and highways. Okay, and it does feel to me as though across University of West Indies, when I do look, I don't see where are the opportunities for those young people who, this is a vibrant sector. It is complicated, yes, but it's a very vibrant sector that needs hands, needs brains, needs problem solvers. So whilst he's talking about a very specific issue around we need engineers, I would go up a level. I think we need to look at what we're delivering in terms of technical education and start recognizing the roads and highways and transport sector need to be catered for at the tertiary level so that we can start to produce people who are enabled to look at these problems.
I also want to carry on, Corey, something WhatsApp said in terms of stopping at pedestrian crossings and using hazard lights. I want to make it as simple as I possibly can to explain it. Hazard lights are not to be used for that reason.
Yes, sir.
Anytime you are using your hazard lights, the vehicle should be being towed or it has broken down. So what should really happen is, if you come to a pedestrian crossing, don't put your hazard lights on. The onus is on the pedestrian in terms of when to cross. I see people sometimes in a vehicle waving people across. No. All pedestrians should only decide to cross on a pedestrian crossing when traffic at all points have come to a complete stop, and then you cross. Put your hand up as the international standard is, and then you cross when people have come to a stop. But you should not put hazard lights on at a pedestrian crossing, because as the WhatsApper said, and you relayed, Corey, people may think the car is broken down and then they overtake. And having said that, anytime anybody is at a pedestrian crossing stop, it stands to reason for all other people behind and opposite that there's a good reason that somebody's on the crossing. Therefore, don't overtake. What if the roles were reversed, where you, the driver, was the one crossing and somebody come past on the crossing where you're on it? That is an activity fraught with clear and present danger and should really not be done at all.
One of the chatters here in, and one of the chats that follow the program closely, sure. I believe is C Dreaming. She was actually, the person is recounting their experience last week on actual crossings and the behavior and road etiquette at crossing. So she was crossing and said she was almost knocked over. And apart from that, they say you actually sometimes you have to run across the crossing. And you have people actually swearing at you to try to get across the crossing even faster. I will use this opportunity for you guys, the professionals, the experts in this field, to remind motorists of their behavior at crossings. What should happen at a crossing? Let's take it from the pedestrian, what they should do, and then let's take it to the driver.
I want to say that every road user has a duty of care to the other. They have to make sure that they cross the road, they use the signs. The highway code makes provision that if you are a pedestrian and you want to cross, you should put up your hand parallel to the road just to show that you want to cross. And then the driver should give way. But you have to use eyeball contact. You have to look towards the vehicle. You don't just come to the side of the road and cross and proceed. You need to make sure that you take care your own safety, your own, you must exercise care. Similarly, the driver seeing you in a compromising situation should go forward, give you precedence. A driver has seen the driver, when you look at the duty of care, a driver has a greater duty of care than a pedestrian. But more importantly, when a pedestrian is on the crossing, the law states that the pedestrian on the crossing has precedence over the vehicles. So a driver with the pedestrian may should have to run across on the crossing. As long as they're on the crossing, they have precedence over moving vehicles. So drivers must give way to them. The law is clear on that. There's no ambiguity at all. So drivers have to realize that they have a responsibility. So you have, as I said, a greater duty of care. So you should have to be thinking of what's happening. So you have a responsibility of looking what can be seen. You have to pay attention to what can be seen, what cannot be seen, and what is expected to develop. And those are things that we need to look at. And now I'm on that. I would like to suggest that even in the ministry, because in the vicinity, when as a child, when he was going to school in St. Philip, like Mark at Prince Margaret, they have signs showing you the approach of schools. And I think it is something that we have to look at. We have to relook that. Even if these signs that are rusted, you need to replace them so that the newer drivers have to pay attention. Maybe the community groups will come together and lend support to the ministry and offer to replace some of these signs, so that making sure that the children, make sure that motorists are aware that these signs are there for a reason, and that pedestrian crossings are there and the pedestrians have access to crossing, so that you can reduce your speed in the vicinity of schools. These are the things that reduce your speed in the vicinity of any area where it is built up. One of the things that we teach from policemen teach other policemen when they're becoming drivers is to realize that town driving and country driving is different. In town driving, which is Bridgetown, Whole Town, Oystens, Spice Town, the density of traffic is so great that you have to take your time more so than if you're in the country districts when you can speed. But you have to be more, you have to be concentrating greater on what is happening around you, because there's a lot of pedestrian traffic around, a lot of hazards around, and you have to deal with hazards as they are, whether it's a stationary traffic, whether it's a stationary hazard or a movement hazard.
I want to propose right now, Corey and listeners, over by St. David's Primary School, there's a 40-kilometer speed limit sign posted by that school going towards the east and coming towards the west. I think it would be useful for this country that by every school in the island and by every pedestrian crossing, where you have a reduced speed in terms of putting up the sign, 40 kilometers or even 30, so that everybody knows and they see the sign ahead of time, I'm coming to a crossing, I'm coming near school, which means that I must, of necessity and for safety reasons, reduce my speed. Just for chance, somebody comes across the crossing at the wrong time, I can stop my vehicle. But more importantly, following off on what Leon said, every single driver has a responsibility to understand that their responsibility is greater than a pedestrian, and you must stop. In fact, some people on pedestrian crossings, the drivers sometimes go on the crossing before the pedestrian gets on the other side. What if the person in Barbadian parallel tacks back or turns back? You have a situation for danger in the making. So it has to be looked at as a win-win situation for both pedestrians and motorists alike. However, one final point here in this area, pedestrians must not walk and just willy-nilly turn from the side road onto a pedestrian crossing without, as Leon said, without stopping and signaling and putting your hand out, because we really want to reduce the semblance of near misses or, in a worst case scenario, collisions.
So many people here saying y'all need to get real. So listen, you got Armarly people, so you can go Armarly drivers. They send them boy making the eye contact with you, call drivers on the phone and they jam into the music in the car. They ain't got no time for the eye contact. The tape panel, get real. What does the panel say?
Well, I want to get real. And that person really is out of it, because in real terms, if that person was a pedestrian, right, and they experienced a near miss by a car, they'd be thinking totally differently. I'm a driver and I'm also a pedestrian, and I put myself in both roles every single time I go on the street. So get off the phones. It is an offense. I think it's $500. Don't be distracted by putting on, let's say, drinking coffee, drinking Cokes, and playing with your hair and buttoning your tie and all, putting on your tie and all that. Distracted driving is out. Distracted. I saw already in this country in the Bell Area years ago, where a fella put on a t-shirt whilst driving. You heard that? Which means I put it over your head. Right, that's foolishness. So when you come in where pedestrians are, the drivers must be on extra alert. But it is a matter of getting real for both pedestrians and for drivers alike.
You gotta get serious.
Right, let me give you some perspective, because I'm listening to this conversation and not smiling, but it's interesting. Because I go the other way when I look at our data, okay? In the last 10, 15 years, we've had 120,000 collisions with pedestrians, right? And that's those not within 50 meters of a crossing. So the issue that we grapple with here is people follow the desire line. So if I'm walking down a road and I want to cross, I'm just going to cross. I'm not walking all the way down there to a traffic light or to a roundabout where there's a crossing. That's how it happens here, okay? We've got lots of formal crossing facilities, but when you look at the data, generally speaking, with a pedestrian collision, it doesn't happen on the crossing itself. It tends to happen with people crossing 50 meters plus away from the crossing facility.
Can they be ticketed, Mark? Can they be ticketed?
No. No. Now, that said, for the last 3 years, here where I work, we've had year-on-year increases in pedestrian fatalities. Every year, we've had more fatalities for the last 3 years. So it presents a real challenge for me in the work that I'm trying to do, because pedestrians are the most unpredictable people in the road environment. You just cannot predict what they are going to do. Even when you're modeling, you can't model pedestrians, because they will just make lots of haphazard decisions. True. And they will cross when they feel like.
And they don't have indicators.
So yeah, just to attach this to the point I was making about studies, we are starting to realize now that behavioral science is going to be so important to the future of those people who work in this sector, because we have to try and challenge ourselves about how do we understand the attitudes and behaviors that people take and the decisions they make when they are in the road environment. So what am I doing? So my case isn't the same as Barbados, where you are grappling with people crossing on crossings and not being seen and bad behavior. My situation is I got people not wanting to use the crossing and all the way down the road and getting killed, not injured. So what I've decided to do is I'm doing a deep dive into 70 fatals over the last 3 years. I've asked Transport Research Laboratory here in the UK, look at these 70 fatals and tell me why these people died. All right? Mm-hmm. Because that is the root of understanding the pedestrian issue. Look at them, and don't just look at them, because part of the issue we have here, we use a system here called CRASH, which is where we get our data from the police. Nobody likes it. None of the practitioners like it, because it doesn't give us enough detail. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the police files. We're going to look in detail at every single one of them. All of the records, all of the interviews, all of the photos, and get to the root of why each one of these people died. Because unless you are really going in deep and studying why these people are dying, you can't then address the behavior problems that are happening. So it takes a lot. So I don't recognize some of the issue that you're talking about in terms of pedestrians not crossing at formal facilities. Mine is a little bit different. They're down the road somewhere, not wanting to get to the formal crossing point, but we're trying to do something about it.
But it is important, it furthers to this discussion, it's important that drivers, we realize the drivers that Corey referred to, get real. It's just they are just a microcosm of this changing Barbadian society. But what they need to, if they have proper education as how they should drive, they will realize they have a responsibility to road users. But equally important is that they must realize that I'm at some stage, I am going to be a pedestrian. So I want people to drive the way I drive when I walk. So as you drive, you want people to be careful. Similarly, when you are driving, you should also be careful. Consider the pedestrian all the time. So drive as you will have others drive while you walk. That can help the situation. So become more aware and pay attention. But Mark was talking about statistics just now, and they look at some statistics that provide by the police between 2015 and 2019. We had about 7 or so fatal fatalities where children, pedestrians, disembark from a bus and cross immediately behind or in front of the vehicle and were killed or injured. But these are things that education would help us to remedy. So we obviously, every education, even at there's some that children at secondary school, furthermore at primary school, that need to be educated. So this education is something crucial. So I'm hoping that coming out of this discussion, the parents and the drivers can realize that there is a need for education. It cannot be on, it can't be, you can't do otherwise than educate the masses of how best to use the roads on the road each and every time. Only 2 weeks ago, I was on a webinar from St. Augustine in Trinidad, the university, and they were talking about road safety, a perspective on road safety. All of these salient points came out. Trinidad is doing the same thing, but we have to do too, because we are a tourist society, so we have to make sure that it's safe.